What are we talking about here at High Point Church? Faith. Somebody say it louder than that. Faith. Man, we should be excited about faith, praise God. You know, a lot of people don't get excited about this subject because they don't like the personal responsibility it puts on them. But how many of you know that when you study the Bible, which is what we base our beliefs on, that we are basing them on what is truth according to God, amen? And one of the things we find out, and I'm really excited about this part, is that when you study the Gospels and you study the lives of individuals where maybe their name was given, what their specific sickness or infirmity was, and how they ended up getting healed from the Lord, all those specific examples we have in the Gospels, guess what? In just about all of them, I'm talking about like 90%+, faith is indicated being present in the miracle of the person that got it. Amen? So what does that tell us? That if that's what we have as the Bible example of it, then our faith is critical in all this. So this is a critical subject. This is something that we need to be emphasizing if our faith has a lot to do with what we receive from God, how we enter into the things of God, and things like that. It's the only way we got saved, right? How are we saved? Somebody help me. It's by grace, through works, through activity, through struggling. No, it's through faith that we obtain the grace of God. Amen. So if our salvation is obtained like that, do you reckon other things are going to be obtained like that in our life? Amen. The salvation of our loved ones, the healing of our bodies, faith is a critical component in the kingdom of God. In fact, it's been put this way before, and I like this one. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. Pastor Robert was just talking about money, right? Well, money is how you live. People will say, when you start talking about money, they'll say, well, I just don't believe money's that important. Oh, really? You don't? Then why do you spend 40 hours a week trying to get more of it? You spend the vast majority of your existence trying to get some in your life, so why is it not important? Well, it is important because it's a tool, but the same way those things are tools here in this natural life, faith is the currency by which we receive from God. So it's a huge deal. This is so important in our life, and that's why we're studying not just faith, but the fundamentals of faith, which is what? The basic building blocks, the ABCs, if you would, of the subject of faith, because we've made this point time and time again that a lot of people are grossly ignorant about how faith works and a lot of these things that we're teaching on. So you got to get the basic foundation laid in your life so you know how it works and then start to build your life on that. That's how I started this series, talking about how the Lord laid this foundation in my life. I started reading books by those that have a spirit of faith, and I started getting my heart established in this principle that I'm not moved by what I see, feel, hear. I'm only moved by what I believe. And what I believe is based on what? That which is written. And if you live your life like that, the devil's going to have a hard time throwing the winds and waves of life at you and getting you off. You'll stay consistent, and other people that are wavering and in and out and all this kind of stuff, you'll be consistent in your life. I was telling an individual that here just recently. We were talking about just how to be consistent in the kingdom of God. Because how many of you know, in our charismaniac circles, we got a lot of flakes, fruits, and nuts. I like to call Christianity, in what we do, we're like a good health brand cereal. We're full of flakes, fruits, and nuts, amen. And so there's all this in and out, wishy-washy, and driven around by all the winds and waves of doctrine out there that come up and stuff like that. But if you get grounded on the Word of God, you're going to stay consistent. I mean, you'll be like that old mule that just sits there, and everybody else is getting drug around. You're just sitting there. You're not moving me anywhere. I'm standing on God's Word. I'm standing on what God said. And then you're not moved by it, praise God. So that's why we're learning these things. It's awesome. And so we've talked about how faith itself is one of those fundamental, elementary principles in the kingdom of God. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 and so forth say that. So it itself is one of the basic things that we need to learn in our life. And so we started off with these fundamentals talking about what faith is and what faith is not. We learned that faith is not a lot of different things. If you missed that one, I encourage you to go back and listen to that. It's really important. But then we began to define what faith is from Hebrews chapter 11, and we found out in a nutshell that the Greek word that's used for faith, the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, is a word that can be basically boiled down to be confident and persuaded of something. And that's why one of my favorite definitions of faith is it's knowing. When you're in faith, you know. You're not guessing. You're not wishing. You're not hoping. When you're in faith, you absolutely, positively know. There is not all this unbelief and all these doubts that come at you. You are established. And, you know, we use the example of our faith that there is a God. How many of you believe there is a God? Amen. How many of you believe He is the one true and living God, the one we serve? Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim. Amen. And I guarantee you, the vast majority of you in here are so established in that, that you're not going around from week to week doubting the existence of God. But see, the problem is that we believe in God in general, but do we believe about Him what He said about Himself? Amen. Hebrews 11:6 tells us what? But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. That He is. What does that mean? That they must believe that He is. It means that you believe that He is who He says He is. Amen. And you can actually just put a little blank there. That He is your healer. That He is your provider. That He is your deliverer. That He is everything you need. He said He is your ever-present help in a time of need. Whatever you need, that's what He is. He is the great I am. Amen. Popeye ain't got nothing on Him. I am that I am. Hallelujah. God is the great I am. Not the great I was or the great I will be. He is whatever you need in your life. And that's what our faith is based on. And so then when we get established in that, we know what faith is, and now we can build from that other things. So last week we began talking about a very important fundamental of faith, and it is this. What is your faith in? What is your faith based on? And the reason why this is important to cover is because a lot of people have their faith in certain things that are not concrete, that are not something you can build your life on, nor are things you should build your life on. Amen. Their faith is in people. Their faith is in what the news tells them. Amen. I had somebody just yesterday, was telling, just asking me my opinion on the election that, you know, we had just had. Was it stolen and all this? And my opinion on, you know, the vaccines and my opinion on if COVID was manufactured by people. And they were asking all that. And you know what? I'm not even going to go there. I just said, I don't have a strong opinion on any of those things. Now, I know some of you out there got strong opinions on these things. I don't. And you know why? Because I've looked through this Bible and I can't find a lot of chapter and verse on these subjects. The only thing you can be confident in your life, the only thing you can base your life on, the only thing you should get excited about, the only thing you should know that you know that you know is that which is written. And don't get swept along by the things of this world and what everybody else is saying and thinking and getting your heart full of those things. Remember this, the thing that solicits the great amount of emotion in your life is the thing that probably has your heart. Whatever you get excited about. What are people real excited about today? Super Bowl, football, and they get all excited about things like this. And you know what? I like it. I enjoy it. I get excited when somebody runs a little piece of pig skin filled with air into the end zone. I kind of like it, but I'm not going to let that dictate my joy, my peace, or anything like that. I need to get full in my heart of what God says. Hallelujah. So our faith, as we learned last week, is supposed to be in something. And what did we learn? Our faith is ultimately, in a nutshell, in the truth. Amen. It's in what is true, what is real. Amen. So ultimately, the way you could boil that down to is it is in what is in the spiritual realm, which is more real than what's in this natural realm. That's why when I have a promise from God that says, by His stripes I am and was healed, And he himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. And he is the Lord, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals me. That's why me declaring that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, even when I got pain in my body, even when the doctor's giving me a negative report and things like that, can still be true, because there are things that are true in the spiritual realm that the natural realm just might not have caught up to yet. And a lot of people will say, you're lying when you do that. Well, we looked at a scripture last week in Romans chapter 3. Let's look at it again. Romans chapter 3. I believe it's verse 4. Oh, I love this verse. What a great one to build your life on. Certainly not. Now, it talked about in the verse before that, you know, will somebody else's faithlessness, you know, take away from the faithfulness of God? And he says, certainly not. You don't base your beliefs on what somebody else has experienced or what somebody else has done. Amen. You know, and there's so many people that this happens to when a great big minister falls. We were out in Colorado Springs during the time when one of the largest churches we have in America, a church of about 14,000 people, I believe it was, or something like that. I can't remember the number. But basically, this pastor fell. He committed some gross sin and things like that. And guess what? All the people around there that knew him, it shook their faith. And I'm like, why in the world would that ever shake your faith because somebody's choices? What has that got to do with God? That just shows that our faith's in people and not in God. Amen. And though I stand in an elevated position today, just so you can see and hear me better, that doesn't mean that if I ever fell, that your faith needs to be shaken. Because your faith's not in Pastor Trey. It's in the Scriptures. It's in your God. And that's what you base your beliefs on. Praise God. So this verse says, certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. Now, what does that mean, let God be true, but every man a liar? It doesn't mean that every person is lying all the time. Now, it does mean that everybody has lied. We've all lied, hopefully not in the last 24 hours, but we've all lied in our lifetime. But no, that's not what this verse is saying, that every man is a liar because they have lied before. It's basically saying this, that if anything anybody says contradicts what God says, it's a lie. Amen. You know, that's why I don't believe whales. I'm going to throw you right here. You ready for this? That's why I don't believe whales are mammals. You hear how quiet it got in this Presbyterian church this morning? Why do I not believe whales are mammals? Why? Well, who said they're mammals? Did God say they're mammals? No, man has come up to classify these things. No, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that what swallowed Jonah was a whale. In one passage of Scripture, it said it was a whale. But guess what it says in another passage of Scripture? It was a great mammal, a great fish. So if God says a whale is a fish, it's a fish. I don't care what the most educated people on this planet say. What God says is true, and what everybody else says is a liar. Praise God. So anything that contradicts what God says, so our faith is in the truth. What God says is real. And see, you know why this is so important? Because this is what's gotten our world in the trouble it's in right now. Our nation is in serious trouble for this reason. Because we have slowly and systematically, according to Satan's war machine, been moved off absolutes. And what's right and what's real. And now you got people that will stand before you and say, well, I might have been told I was a boy when I was raised, but I'm a girl. Because I feel like a girl, because I choose to be a girl, and things like that. When everything in the natural tells you they're a boy. You know that if your body is buried in the ground, and 1,000 years from now, somebody discovers your bones, they can pull from your bones what your chromosomes were and everything like that and be able to tell whether you're a boy or a girl. And if they can know that after you've been dead for that long, they ought to be able to know that whether you've been alive, praise God. But see, there's all this, we don't have these things that we're building our life on, concrete things. And now, truth is relative. It's whatever's truth to you. No. Truth is what God says is truth. And if adultery's sin, amen, it's sin. I don't care what the world has evolved to. In fact, the world's not evolving, it's devolving. You know, that's what the Bible said, you know, in the very beginning when God told him, the day you eat of that fruit, you will surely die, right? And then what happens? Well, he didn't die when he ate the fruit. At that moment that we can see, he died spiritually, and then slowly and systematically death happened. Same thing happened to this planet. This planet is dying. That's why you see the things you see. That's why you see the devolvement in a lot of things that are going on around us. And the good news is, though, that's not something to be all shaken about, because we're getting a new one. Our faith is based on this, man. I mean, you know, you got people out there that'll say, oh, man, I believe in global warming. Really? Because according to somebody's theory? You know what Kenneth Hagin said a theory was, don't you? A theory is a supposition built on the ignorance of the subject under discussion. A theory is just that. It's just a theory. It's not facts. Amen. And so, you know, I know people got all their different theories on that, but what does the Bible teach us? It doesn't teach us about global warming. It talks about global melting. You go read in there, the Bible says the whole earth's going to burn up with fervent heat. That's what's going to happen. Amen. And that's why we're living our lives getting ready for that time. That's what our faith is built on. On what? The truth. It's built on the truth. So, I was planning on moving on a little bit from this, but I think I'm going to camp on it a little bit longer. Because I think our faith, we need to know exactly what that is based on and what it's in. So when I talk about faith being in the truth, what is truth? What is the truth? Now, you that have been attending High Point for a couple of years now, you should absolutely know what the truth is. Because why? We spent an entire several months talking about what is truth. And we defined it from the Scriptures. And we looked at the first one. This is should be the most obvious one that our faith is in, what our life is built on. It's in John 14, verse 6. And what did Jesus say in John 14, 6? Jesus said to him, that's one of his disciples that asked him, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. So Jesus, in his person, is the truth. Not a truth, the truth. Amen. So what does this mean? If our faith is to be in the truth, then our faith is in Jesus. And so the way I put it was this, and this is going to, I know this is going to speak to some people in this place today. Our faith is in Him and not in ourselves. I wrote it this way too. Our faith is in His finished work and not in our works. And why do I need to bring this out? Why do I need to hammer this? Because I have been around enough to be able to tell you there is a lot more people in the church, born again, Spirit-filled Christians who ultimately, if you were able to just examine it and look at it at, for what it really is, their faith in a lot of cases is more in themselves than it is in Jesus. Now, I'm not saying they're not saved, that they're not born again, that they're not going to go to heaven one day, but what I am saying is when it comes to the daily ins and outs of things, they put more faith in themselves. And I'll just identify it. This is why. Because I've prayed for people before, and it's obvious. It gets all over me. I can see it. I can feel it when I get around them, is that people are condemned, and they don't have confidence they're going to receive because they are highly, acutely aware of how much they've missed it, how far they've fallen, how they hadn't been praying, how they hadn't been studying the Word. And their faith is ultimately in what they've done instead of what Jesus has done. Right? And that's why when you teach on faith, it's almost a condemning thing to some people. People take it the wrong way because when you start putting personal responsibility on it and stuff like that, what does some people do? it's really dangerous. Some people then start getting over into thinking about, well, do I have enough faith? Do I believe enough? Right? And then it gets over into works, doesn't it? Listen, I got an awesome quote for you. You ready for this? It's not how great your faith is. It's how great your faith is in a great God. I'll say that for this side of the room. You ready for this? It's not how great your faith is. It's how great your faith is in a great God. That's why Jesus would teach us and say, you know, people talk about, well, increase our faith. Oh, God, I need more faith. He said, no, honey. If you just got faith as a mustard seed, you can move this mountain right over here. He's not talking about having an enormous amount of faith, a great amount of faith. He's saying, if you just got this amount of faith, this is the kind of production you can get. But the problem is as Jesus has taught us in other places, people have faith. The problem is they also got rooms full of unbelief with that faith. And what is that? Part of that unbelief is I am so sensitive to what I have done, who I am, what I'm supposed to be doing. And because of that, all I got to do is just not do those things. And then there's the devil telling me, you've missed it, you can't do this, and you have no reason to believe in God for this. It's not going to work because of this. All this different stuff will start coming at you. And then ultimately, it's going to come to the point to where you don't go to church anymore, quit getting around people, you're a hypocrite, and all this kind of stuff. Listen, let me tell you how to deal with that. When the devil's coming and telling you all these different things, this is what you do. You remind him. When he tells you about your past, remind him about his future. He don't like that. You know, one of the reasons why we're seeing all the things we're seeing in the world today, it's because the devil is come in great wrath. The devil's the one stirring up all this. Why? Because Revelation tells us, because he knows his time is short. It's shorter than it's ever been. So all you got to do is remind the devil when he starts telling you, oh, you've been all this, you've done all these different things. This is what, then you start reminding him and say, oh, devil, Revelation says there's an angel coming down with chains to bind you up and throw you down into the bottomless pit. I hear them chains are rattling. They're coming to get you, devil. Hell, hey, he won't even hang around you. You do that long enough, I'm telling you, the pride in him won't even want to be around you. It's a great way to get devil to leave you alone. Amen. Start reminding him of his failure and what he has destined to him. Amen. So my faith is not in myself. My faith is in what Jesus has done for me. Amen. My faith is in God. Mark 11, 22 says, have faith in God. And then he goes into talking about, you shall think it'll be proven all. All right, there we go. We're back. So don't be moved around by what he's telling you. Glory to God. Be moved around by what God has told you and what God has done in your life. Glory to Jesus. And he's told me I'm a champ. I'm a victor. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be awesome, since it's Super Bowl Sunday, wouldn't it be awesome if you knew what the outcome of the game would be? Now, some of you would actually like the suspense of it, and you would like to know, just let it just come upon you and this and that. I would love to know what the end of the game was. Y'all seen Back to the Future? You remember the one where he went in way into the future, and he brought that little book back that had all the sports stuff, and he was ready to go put all that money in Vegas, praise God, so he could be blessed so much to be able to bless High Point Church with his tithes and offerings. But here, God's already ruined the end of the game for you. Devil might have a 32-point lead going into the fourth quarter. And it might seem like that, but bless God forever, I got the book of Revelation that tells me we're going to have an awesome comeback here in the end. And we're going to win in dramatic fashion. And there will not be any game any greater than the one that some of us might live through. Praise God. That's something to be excited about, isn't it? It is for me. Glory to God. I'm glad the game got ruined. Then I'm not all shaken and freaking out about what's going on in the world today. That's why I've always been amazed by that, to watch how people respond to the current events of this world like God didn't already tell us these things are going to happen. It's supposed to happen. Right? But we're going to have an awesome comeback. We're going to win. This is how we can stay people of faith. Glory to God. So my faith is not in myself. It's in Christ Jesus. Go over to Philippians chapter 3. Let me show you something. For those of you who tune in generally on Tuesday nights on the Pastor's Study, we've been going through the book of Philippians. And it's been good. We've been studying some awesome stuff, haven't we, Susie? We've been learning, going verse by verse through this, seeing the way the truth works in our life. And one of the things we learned, and I was brought to mind of this again, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. This is who we are. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now that goes back to what I was saying earlier. Where's your rejoicing? What's it based in? It's in Christ. It's in what Jesus has done. It's in what God has said through Him. And we have no confidence in the flesh. Now that's important. Now that sounds like faith to me, doesn't it? To have confidence in something, right? Our faith is not in the flesh, anything fleshly or in ourselves. Glory be to God. And Paul goes on to say, if anyone were able to have confidence in their flesh, I have every right to be boasting in the things that I have done and what I've experienced in my life. And he goes on to describe those things in Philippians 3. But he's saying right here, he goes on to say in verses after that, he basically says what? He says that all these things that I've done, all these things that I could put my confidence in that's natural, that's carnal, that's fleshly, he said, I could put my confidence in all those things, but you know what? Now I've come to determine something. They're all dung. Should I say it? I'm absolutely going to say it. Do you know what the Greek word is for dung? Yeah, it's that stuff you flush down your toilet periodically. He's saying the things that I've done, the good things, he said, compared to what Christ has done for me, this is what they're like. Right? And so what he's saying there is, you don't put any confidence in those things because relatively, they're nothing. You know? And too many people are trying to put their confidence in those things, which leads me to my next point. What is another thing that the Scriptures say that the truth is? Well, John 17, verse 17. Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. So what is our faith supposed to be in? In the word. Listen to this now. In his word, not in your words or in anybody else's words. Do you know that's why when I stand up here before you and things like this, and I hope you are very grateful of this, I know a lot of you come to this church for this reason. And you know why? Because I'm not up here giving you Pastor Trey's opinion, Pastor Trey's philosophy, telling you all nice flowery stories and tickling your little ears and giving you all the kind of things you want to hear and this and that. Sometimes we have correction. Sometimes we have reproof. Sometimes we have exhortation. Sometimes we have these things. But they're always based on that which is written. You're always going to get plenty of Scripture in this church. Why? Because that's what your faith's got to be in. Your faith has to be in what God said, not in what pastor said. Amen? And then when you become confident in that, you're established in that, man, it just changes everything. And you can't be going around like the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts when they go around and say, we adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches. Come out. What happened? That devil jumped out on them, whipped and stripped them, and they ran away naked. That's what will happen if you go on secondhand truth. You got to get it for yourself. You got to own it. There are certain things I even say today and preach that are almost direct quotes of what somebody else has said. But they're not theirs anymore. They're mine. Pastor Robert said something really good Thursday, and we were eating lunch afterwards, and I said, I'm going to steal that one from you. Unless you want to give it to me, then I won't be in sin. Right? Own truth. It doesn't matter who says it. Listen for the truth. Which is the next really big point and the one I really want to hammer on today, because this is another thing I think people don't really know you can have your faith in. When we've studied truth before, we found out, yes, it is Jesus. Yes, it's the Word. But in John chapter 16, Jesus revealed something to us about the Holy Ghost. And he says this, let's look at it. John 16, thank you, Debbie. John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So notice Jesus calls him here the Spirit of truth. And because of that, he's going to guide you into all the truth. Another thing that you can absolutely have confidence in is when the Holy Spirit speaks something to you. When he leads you, when he guides you. Now, I need to put a little caveat on this, because you need to know that what you're hearing and sensing is absolutely the Holy Spirit. Because there's a lot of people that have done things said, well, I'm being led to do this. And honey, they ain't being led by the Holy Spirit. They're being led by their flesh, their understanding, and what they think. So you got to be sure of this, and this comes through personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. But once you've heard from the Holy Ghost, and he's leading you in a certain direction, it's concrete, baby. You can bet it. Because why? He's not going to lead you contrary to the Word. Certainly ain't going to lead you contrary to what Jesus has done or said. He is going to glorify Jesus. He is the author of the Word, the one that inspired it. So he's always going to lead you in line with that. So that's sometimes our little litmus test is that, is it lining up with Scripture? If it contradicts Scripture, it contradicts what Jesus has done and things like that, it ain't the Holy Spirit. He's not going to do that. But when it does confirm it, and God doesn't ever mind you asking for confirmation on certain stuff. Amen? You know, we said this before, and we hammer these things, is that I can't tell you how many people I've run into in our charismatic circles that says, Pastor, I got a word from somebody. Sister Blabbermouth came to me at church, and she told me, thus saith the Lord, and gave me some things I should be doing in my life, and I did it, and it's ruined my life. And I'm nicer in my older age than I used to be. And I'll say things like, that's your fault. You got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, right? You don't just go around and do something because somebody else told you to do something. People can miss it. Right? But when the Holy Ghost is confirming what somebody's giving you, and boy, it's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you confirming the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, then you hang your hat on that just like you would Scripture. And you can build your life on those things. And then you've got confidence that he will lead you and guide you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. And we will end with this. Probably. I'm kidding. We probably will. If I know the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, praise God. This is a good one. How many of you love this verse? I tell you, I've polled Christians before and asked them before, what's your favorite verse in the Bible? This is way up there. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it's a good one. But this, to me, really encapsulates how our faith is to be in what the Lord leads us to do, what he guides us to do, versus our own understanding, right? So let's look at these verses, and I'll break them down a little bit for you as we close today. Trust in the Lord. Now, trust is not the same as faith, but it is a brother. It's a sibling of faith. So trust in the Lord with all your head. That's what people want to do. Oh, I got to make some sense out of it. I got to figure these things out. I'm going to tell you something. If you are walking around and everything's got to make sense to you that the Lord leads you to do, you're not going to be led by the Lord very much. He's going to do a lot of stuff. I mean, with Jesus, even Jesus went around and spit on people's eyes. I mean, made mud and put it on there. I'm telling you what. And see, and people say, where's the faith in that? Listen, honey, you a blind person? And you come up to me and say, Pastor, I want you to pray that I'll receive my sight. All right, let's go outside. Let's get in this little dirty area over here. And you can't see nothing, you know. You're walking out there and you're hearing the birds and everything. And then all of a sudden you hear, and then you feel something gooey get put on. I'm strategically trying to ruin your appetite. So your stomach is not louder than me right now. And for a person to allow me to put that on their blind eyes, come on, help me, requires some faith. So there's faith even in that one, praise God. So you're trusting in the Lord with your heart, and there's a difference, listen to this, there's a difference between believing God in your heart versus believing God in your head. Something that has set a lot of people free, this statement right here, I know Brother Hagin used to say this all the time, you can have faith in your heart with unbelief in your head. Meaning you got all these thoughts going on, oh, I got all these doubts, and the devil will try to make you think, oh, see, you're not in faith, because that's going on there. You can still have it in your heart. That's why he says, trust the Lord with all your heart. And look at this one, and lean not, say lean not, lean not on your own understanding. What does that mean to lean? That's to trust. That's another way of describing trust. You're trusting in your ability to figure it out. You're trusting in your ability to understand things. And that's what he's saying. Don't do that. There's going to be a lot of things the Lord's going to tell you to do, lead you to do, that won't make any sense in the natural. That's why you got to do it out of your heart and be led by the Lord. And this is how you do it. Look at verse 6. In some of your ways, acknowledge Him. That's what some people do. I just quote it like that because that's the way most people live their life. No, in all your ways, every day, everywhere you go, in everything, what are you doing? Acknowledge Him. Now, I'm glad that they translated the word acknowledge here. It's actually translated no the majority of time. It's actually the word that was used over in Genesis when it said that Adam knew his wife Eve and she conceived and bore a child. Now, how many of you know that wasn't them sitting on a rock across from each other saying, hey, let me get to know you a little bit more, honey? No, that knowing was intimacy. And that's the word that's used here. So in all your ways, all my ways, I'm to do what? To know Him in an intimate way. Not perverted. An intimate relationship, a closeness, fondness, where I know Him. Amen. Kind of like, you know, we used the example before about how some of us guys in here. Alan, how long you guys been married now? 3 years? Good. I was testing you to see if you got the answer right. I would venture to say that 3 years into this thing, hanging out with his wife Aubrey for a period of time, guess what? Alan knows some things that he didn't know when they were just dating. And you know what that is? He knows when she's ticked off without her expressing it in any way. Isn't that right, Gary? We know. Why? Because of the intimate relationship we have with somebody. So that's what's being described here. If in all my ways I know the Lord, and in this case, the Holy Spirit, then guess what? I can know what's right and wrong. I can know what He's thinking. I can know what His heart is. And this was one of the first revelations the Lord ever gave me. I got saved, and it was basically this. He said, this is why I like the word acknowledge here. Because every time you acknowledge what the Lord's doing in your life, what He's done for you, the more you do that in all your ways, guess what you do? You increase the capacity to receive more of whatever you're acknowledging Him for doing. Amen. It's like I'm standing there. I heard Judy say this recently. I'm standing there in line at Walmart, and oh my gosh. I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, it's like the Red Sea parts. People going back to get things, and boo, 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 boo. Oh, thank you, Lord. Favor. What do I do then? I acknowledge the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the front row parking space today. Thank you, Lord, for doing this. And I'm acknowledging constantly. The more you do that, you increase your capacity to receive more from God. Amen. So in all your ways, you acknowledge Him. And look what it says He'll do. And He shall direct your paths. And I love the word direct here. When you look it up, it literally means this. The most common word that's used to translate it is He'll make your path smooth and straight. How many of you could use in your life more of a smooth and straight path? This is how you get it. That in all your ways you're acknowledging Him. So in this case that we're talking about, trusting the Holy Spirit's leadership and direction and guidance in your life, what are you doing? You're living your life knowing the Holy Spirit in your life. You're walking with Him. You're communing with Him. And you're talking with Him. I know most people don't do this, but it's really a great idea to live our lives to this extent, is that I get up in the morning. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being in me. Thank you for being resident in my life. And I thank you today, we're going to have a great time. We're going to just go throughout our day, whether I'm going to work, the grocery store, or whatever. And Holy Spirit, let's have fun. And show me things about people. Help me to realize what's going on in somebody else's life. Lead me today of who to call, who to text. And let's do life together. And as you are acknowledging the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, oh, you're giving Him more of an entrance into your life to do more. You know, the Holy Ghost wants to do more in our lives and in our churches than He is doing. I'm telling you. And it comes because He's the perfect gentleman. He's a dove. He's a perfect gentleman to where He's like, I live in you and I'm just great. I'm just here to do whatever you need me to do. But most people, they're not talking to Him. They're not involving Him. And because of that, He sits back and doesn't do a tremendous amount. Same with our angels. Some of our angels are just lounging around waiting for us to say something that's according to the Word of God so that they can go get active in our life. We've got to start involving the Godhead, involving the kingdom of God in our everyday life and start communing and talking to Him more than even we do any natural person in our life. And the more we do that, the more our path begins to become smooth and straight. Now I'm on GPS, God's positioning system. And now He is directing me, He's leading me, and I can have confidence in that, can I? I can put my trust in those things because now I am learning to not lean to my own understanding. I love this. It says over in Psalm, I have it written down here, Psalm 18:30. Learn this one from a VeggieTales. That's twice I've mentioned VeggieTales in a couple of weeks, I think. But look at this one. Come on, say this first phrase with me. As for God, His way is perfect. Hallelujah. It's perfect. And when you are letting Him direct it, I mean, He's going to lead you around all kinds of trouble, all kinds of harm, and we can get around so many different things. He can make you fix something. I mean, I've seen it before. He can make you, you're spending hours trying to fix that noise your car is making. You're up to your elbows in grease and just trying and pulling your hair out to where you can't figure all these things out. Wherein if we would just pause and say, Lord, You know. I want to know what You know. Amen. And we've seen these things happen many different times in our life. But this right here, this is how to live. I'm having faith in what? I'm having faith in Jesus and not in myself. I'm having faith in His Word, not in my words. I'm having faith in the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost on the inside of me, and not in my ability to understand things. And I build my life on that, and guess what? It's on an unshakable foundation. It's based on the thing it needs to be based on. And that is when my faith will soar, and I'll rise up on the wings of the eagles like we were singing about this morning, and we'll start to ascend the hill of the Lord and experience everything God says is ours. Not wandering around the mountains, wandering through the wilderness, but entering into my promised land that He says I can have. Comes through basing my faith on all He is and all He's done. Can I get an amen? Let's stand on our feet then. Come on up, Judy. Thank you, Lord. I'm enjoying this teaching on the subject of faith. I've had people like write me and text me and stuff like that and say, man, I've been listening and watching and it's been great, been getting a lot out of it. People are really hungry for this because we want to get some results. Well, this is how you get them in your life. This is the way it works. So, Lord, we are thankful for that today. We are so thankful for what you are doing in us, how you're building us up. You're making us fit to be a holy sanctuary, pure and holy, to house the glory of God. We thank you today for the presence and power of the Holy Spirit here to teach us, guide us, and lead us. And we thank you today, as we learned earlier, that we are on the winning side. So ultimately, when it's all said and done, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.